First Timothy chapter number 6 is where we'll be. I know it's Palm Sunday, and you say, shouldn't we be reading a passage of Scripture out of the Gospels about the Hosanna, glory to God in the highest? Don't worry, we'll reference that in a little while. You know, the Bible has more to say about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords than just out of those passages in the Gospels. And I was praying this week, and I almost went a totally different direction. I almost said to myself, why do we have to be confined to a calendar when we're preaching? And boy, the Lord brought these verses to my heart. I've been meditating on these all week long as we look into the Scriptures. But so thankful. If you found 1 Timothy chapter 6 and you're able to, let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God. 1 Timothy 6, as the Apostle Paul is getting ready to close out his first letter to Timothy here. And we'll start in verse number 11 and read down through verse number, probably stop at 16. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. I love back in verse number 15, where it says, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And what a great verse that God gave through the Apostle Paul right here to Timothy to remind us of who he is. I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then you can be seated, and I'm going to speak for the next few moments this morning on the subject matter of comfort with the King. Comfort with the King. Let's pray. Our Father, we're so thankful to be able to gather together this morning. And Lord, as throughout this week, my heart and mind would go back to that time you entered into Jerusalem. And Lord, we read here the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And Lord, I'm thankful for who you are in our lives. I'm thankful, Lord, that you're present with us. I'm thankful that you're my Savior. You're a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And Lord, I pray throughout the next few moments, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, that you'd encourage us. And Lord, if there's one here this morning that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, then I pray, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts throughout today. May Christ be exalted and glorified in everything that's said and done now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Today it is a worldwide celebration of that triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Have you ever tried to imagine what that scene must have been like as Jesus was entering into the city? As it was lined and people would line the streets down both sides, and here comes Jesus riding upon that foal of a donkey. And the people line the streets, they're taking their garments, we have recorded in Scripture, and they're laying their garments in the street before Jesus. Now that had to be commitment. How many of y'all would take your jacket off and let a donkey walk on top of it, okay? And so here they are, and they're lining the streets. They're taking their outer garments off and laying them down there. They are waving palm branches, and they're shouting, "Hosanna, glory to God in the highest." Now, I don't know if you can... If you have, some people just have a better imagination than what other people have. But if you can just imagine this scene as it's taking place there, entering into Jerusalem, I imagine that there's been nothing like that before. And you say, why is that? Kings have ridden into cities and they've gathered along the streets. I guarantee if you go back and read through history, this is probably the only one that's ever ridden in and being crowned here by the people as king and riding upon the foal of a donkey. Usually there's more fanfare with a camel or seated high above it and being carried in there. But imagine this scene that's taking place there in the streets of Jerusalem. But I also, throughout this week, I also tried to think of this and imagine it maybe from heaven's perspective. I wonder what heaven was thinking as Jesus is riding into Jerusalem. I wonder if heaven is looking down and finally the angels are saying, well, it's about time. It's about time that they realized who this is that has been walking among them for the past 33 and a half years. The one that's been performing the miracles, the one that's walked on water, the one that's raised the dead. And maybe as heaven is gathered around and said, it's about time they gave him the due respect. I don't know if they talk like that in heaven. We'll find out when we get there. But I can see the angels gathered around saying, look what's taking place. That's Jesus who left this throne right here and he's down there. And now the people, this creation is gathered around and they're praising him. And I wonder if heaven is cheering along as the people are saying, Hosanna, glory to God in the highest. And maybe the angels are joining in and they're saying, God, they're cheering you. Glory to God in the highest. And they're referencing God Almighty. We know the story of the week that we're entering into. That as heaven was probably watching, as the people were gathered around and they're wanting to crown him the king as he's coming in and they're cheering him on and they're laying their garments down and they're waving the palm branches at him and proclaiming glory to God in the highest, and heaven's around. And here a few days later, this man who was desired to be, they were desiring to crown him as king. They are now hanging, he is hanging on a cross. And next week we'll celebrate the resurrection, but there's a lot that takes place over these next few days. That this man who they're saying is glory to God in the highest, in the next few days there'll be a group that will falsely accuse him. One of his followers that is marching in there with him will betray him for a few pieces of silver and betray him with a kiss on the cheek here just a few nights later, and he'll be arrested, falsely accused, have an unjust trial. And one will come out and say, I find no fault in the man. But the religious leaders will still gather around and scream out, crucify him, and he'll be sentenced to death by crucifixion. And we know, and aren't you glad that we have the end of the story? That we know he's not laying in a grave today. I read a statement or heard a statement this week. They said there's over 4,200, I think, named and known religions around this world. It's no wonder people are so confused today. Over 4,200 named religions around this world, but they said there's only one that has an empty tomb today, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this scene that was played out that I just made mention of, that's recorded back in the Gospels, we understand that this will be replayed. So as I thought about what took place 2,000 years ago of Jesus as he was coming physically into Jerusalem, and then I thought about what heaven must have been like as Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, may I remind us that this scene will be replayed in the near future. You say, well, but yes, when Jesus comes and he will ride into Jerusalem. In fact, it talks about him coming back, not on the foal of a donkey, but he'll be coming back on a beautiful white horse. And we'll be following him, and the armies of heaven are coming behind him, and he will enter into Jerusalem. But may I remind us that that week that he does, it will not end with a crucifixion. It will not end with a resurrection, but it will begin the rule and reign of the Lord Jesus Christ as he physically sits upon the throne of David there in Jerusalem. You say, is he waiting to be that King of Kings? No, because as we read here in 1 Timothy chapter number 6, it says that he is going to show who is the blessed and most holy potentate. Paul speaks to Timothy here as he reminds him of who he is. His encouragement to Timothy is that he should be serving and faithful to him as such right now. Now, as I read down through here, we understand that the next letter that Paul wrote to Timothy was actually the last one we have recorded that he wrote while he was here on the face of the earth. And then Paul, shortly after the second Timothy letter, was actually put out into eternity and is forever with his Savior. But he's encouraging Timothy here to make sure to be faithful, to make sure to serve him. Boy, what comfort it must have been. And as I read down through here, I said, you know, in the day and age that we live in, we look around, can I remind us, it does not seem like there's very much comfort or grace or calmness about anywhere in this world today. It seems, as you read throughout the scriptures, we understand the Bible says that coming towards the end times, there are going to be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be people crying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And we say, we look around us and say, Pastor, how is it that on a day like this, and we say what's taking place around the world, and wars are taking place, and even today it's costing people their lives, how can you say that we can have comfort with the King? Well, I look down through here and I want to remind us of just a few things that I jotted down and I have in my notes for this morning that I'd love to be able to share with us. First of all, I believe this, that we can take comfort in here in the revealing of the person that we are serving. The Bible reminds us, of course, he is speaking directly to Timothy here and reminding us in verse number 11, but thou, O man of God, I believe he was talking to Timothy as a preacher. I believe he was talking to him as one who is standing up and proclaiming the word of God. And he's telling him in verse 12 to fight the good fight of faith. He's giving him a charge in verse number 13. I give thee charge in the sight of God who quickeneth all things and before Christ Jesus. And here's what he said in verse number 14, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I remind us today that I believe according to the word of God, and I believe the Bible teaches it, that soon and very soon that we're going to see our Savior face to face. I'm looking forward to the day that, listen, we don't have to shovel any more wonderful spring weather. I don't know how many times I've said when it's raining, hey, at least you don't have to shovel it. Well, we did yesterday, 2 and 3 and 4 times, and there'll probably be some more of it. As we were looking at the landscaping over the past couple weeks, I don't know how many have already gotten that spring cabin fever, and you were ready to go out and do something. And I said yesterday morning, as we were fellowshipping with some on Zoom and sitting around, I said, well, I guarantee you this. I said, I don't have to look at that mulch for another little while. And I said, it's going to be covered up. And I think one person, Alan, you got out golfing on Wednesday, and Chris was going to go golfing this afternoon. That's been indefinitely postponed. And at least I would have an excuse going golfing right now that I can't find my ball. And it wouldn't be because it's 100 yards out of the way. Can I remind us, listen, we look around this world and you say, Pastor, what in the world's going on? Wickedness is abounding on every side. We see the attacks on families. We see trying to tear marriages apart. We see what's taking place in the economy and government, not just here, but around the world. Can I remind us, we can take comfort in being reminded on who we are serving. Now, it's not just some no name, but he reminds us here. And I know some have tried to take the position of the Lord Jesus, but can I remind us that the Bible says, who is the blessed and only potentate? That means there is not another one, no matter how big of a throne they may have, no matter how much authority they may think that they have to be able to govern what they call churches around this world. There is only one blessed and holy potentate, and it is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, he must be a self-declared one. Yes, just like every other person that's come along. You know what the difference is? Every other person that has declared themselves to be the blessed and holy potentate, eventually they die and they're laying in a grave somewhere. But the blessed and holy potentate is the one that we serve today that is alive and well and seated upon the right hand of the throne of God. Our memory verse this past week was out of Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 12 that said, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. After he sacrificed. Can I remind us today of who we serve? You see, we don't serve a government somewhere. In fact, we don't, and I understand structure of church, but we know that Jesus is the head of the church. We understand that. Can I remind us today that who each and every one of us serve is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ? And I wonder how it is this week if he is pleased with our service. The blessed and only potentate. Revealing the person we're serving. Do you understand if those that were standing on the side of the road that day as Jesus is coming in and they're proclaiming Hosanna, glory to God in the highest. Boy, if they would truly have understood exactly what they were saying and what they were calling him at that moment. You see, they were looking, as many are today, and you may be sitting here today, and just looking maybe for a physical deliverance. That's what the nation of Israel was looking for back then. That's why they wanted a king to be able to come in, because they were under Roman rule in the Roman Empire. And here this man is coming in. Listen, I'd start looking at a man if he could raise the dead. Start saying, hey, why don't we elect him to be president? Some think they can raise the dead. Some think they can walk on water. Some think that they can heal the sick and they can do all that. I found out there's not a one of them that can. And if you're putting more hope in who's going to be in the White House now or come next January, you're missing the whole point of who our blessed and holy potentate is. Understanding that it's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's some that go through life and say, God, if you'll just deliver me physically from this right here, the same as Israel was saying, if you just deliver us from the Roman rule and empire, then we'll serve you. But what Jesus was coming, and listen, what he's offering to you is a whole lot more than just physical deliverance, but I believe he's offering spiritual deliverance to each and every one. And boy, aren't you thankful that we serve someone who's not just interested in trying to deliver physically for just a temporary period of time, but can deliver us spiritually for all of eternity. The blessed and only potentate. Don't allow someone else to take the title and the position of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let him be who he is and who he desires to be in your life. Let me ask you this, which crowd would you have been in when it came time for this Passion Week, when it came time for, and Jesus is riding into Jerusalem? I wonder if you would have been in the group that is saying, Hosanna, glory to God in the highest, or if you would have been in the group of crucify him, and would have been gathered around. You see, it's amazing today. You say, well, I want him to be my Savior, but I don't want him to be my King. I believe that we can take comfort in realizing who it is that we're serving. I believe we can do this. I believe that we can take comfort in realizing the authority that he has over all other kings and authorities. You see, the Bible says here, and I love this phrase, where it says, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. May I remind us that that position is not up for debate? And that position is not up for election. He has never run a candidacy to say, would you elect me as King of Kings and Lord of Lords? He's never run that. Listen, Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's not that one day he's going to be. He is today, as he sits on the right hand of the throne of God. And one day he is coming back physically. He is going to walk into Jerusalem. He is going to sit on the throne of David. I believe that 100%. You say, why do you believe that? Because the Bible says so. And that's why I believe it, the King of Kings. Do you understand that every other person of any authority or power whatsoever will have to bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ in humility and submission to his authority? Now think about that on what it's going to be like. Listen, there's some today, I don't believe they have an ounce of humility in their bodies. I believe some, you can hear them around this world, you can hear them here in our nation, and there's no humility. When you got political leaders that asked if they've ever confessed a sin, and they say, no, I don't have any sin to confess. I have nothing to be forgiven of. Does the word pride mean anything? Now listen, I know, you can say, come on, and we say that about everybody out there. It's about time we look in the mirrors, isn't it? Because we start saying, oh, there's nothing wrong with me. Do you understand? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, one day, as the Bible describes it in Philippians chapter number 2, there is coming a day that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Can you imagine? And listen, I'll just lump them all together. Can you imagine the day, if it were to be today, that Putin would have to bow his knee to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? You say, what about Hitler? What about President Biden? What about Trump? I'll throw them all in there. Every one of them at some moment will bow the knee. They may think they're king. They may think they're dictator. They may think that they're some powerful stuff to be able to just control the little minions that are around them and send them off, and their lives don't mean a thing to them. But listen, one of these days, they're going to bow the knee to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and they're going to realize exactly who is in control, exactly who does have the power. If they just go back and read the Bible, they'd realize what Jesus said back in Matthew chapter 28 when he said, all power is given unto me. Jesus has it. That's who he is. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And may I say that that's actually going to be imprinted on his vesture as he's riding back in on that white horse with a sword proceeding out of his mouth. It is going to say, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's not going to be a question. Now imagine how it'll be when he's riding into Jerusalem on that day Today is Palm Sunday. We look back 2,000 years and say, here they were waving their palm branches and laying their garments down. And there is coming a day. Jesus is riding into Jerusalem. And listen, he won't be coming to head to a cross. He'll be saying, that throne's mine. I'll just go sit on that throne. King of kings and Lord of lords. You say, how can I take comfort in that? Listen, we serve someone and we know someone a whole lot higher up than anybody here on this earth. Hey, I've had the privilege to be able to sit down and be able to talk with what we would say might be some pretty high up people with some authority and position across our nation. Boy, I'm looking forward to the day when I see my Savior face to face. Now, do you understand this? Now, think about this. And this is what encouraged me throughout this week as I thought about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's the one that I serve. That's the one that's revealed to me. He's the blessed and only potentate. He is going to be appearing. Do you understand the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is the one that the Bible says that he is our friend that sticketh closer than a brother? Boy, what a blessing. When we take it from King of Kings and Lord of Lords and realize he's the one that is there absolutely any time that I need to speak to him. Now, listen, I was praying last night. Power went out about 8:30. It happens. Listen, I don't take the power going out as the devil attacking me on a Saturday night, okay? Oh boy, the devil was attacked. No, the power went out, okay? That's all it was. And I went downstairs and boy, I was thanking God for specifically two men in our church, and I'll say it publicly right now. One, Doug Parker, and I almost texted to see if he was available because my generator wasn't starting. And I said, he's smarter in this. And I did pray. I said, Lord, I said, I need you to help me right now. And I said, I absolutely know nothing else that I need to do at 8:45 at night. And I don't want to call and bug someone. And I said, Lord, would you help me? So I kept pulling. Let it sit for a little while. I didn't want to flood it. I said, I just kept pulling. Eventually it kicked over. But I said, boy, I'm thankful for Doug Parker. You say, why Doug Parker? Because I bought my generator from him. So I had one. And so I said, praise the Lord. And then I was thanking the Lord for Kevin Palmer, because he came over to my house and he helped me, and I had a plug right outside that just plugged my generator in and go in and flip a switch inside my house and go back upstairs and make a cup of coffee on my Keurig, and it ran it. And I said, praise the Lord. And I said, I'm thankful. And so I was thanking God last night as I was going over things and I was praying. And I said, do you realize the person that I'm praying to? I wasn't praying to Doug. I wasn't praying to Kevin. I said, I bowed my head. I was out there and it was turned over to snow and I'm pulling on that thing. And I said, Lord, and it dawned on me. Do you understand? At those very words, I was ushered spiritually right into the very throne room of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords while I was praying. And I said, boy, what a blessing. That's the one that I serve. That's the one that I know. Not just physically walking into a city, but I serve him today. I know him today. He has authority over all other kings and other authorities. But then I want you to see this, and I'll get ready to close in a few moments, but I'm excited about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm thinking about that day that he rode in there and what that must have been like. And I can't wait till we get to be part of it when Jesus is riding back into Jerusalem and I get to be behind him and we're coming in. And I guarantee in my mind, I'm going to say, this is nothing like what I imagined it. I don't know if they're still going to be fighting him at that time or if he's just going to be riding in saying, that's mine. I'll take that. That's my throne. And you know what I'm going to say? Brian, I've thought about it. You know what I'm going to say? I'm with him. That's all I'm going to say. I'm with him. I'm with him. Who are you with? I'm with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know the one that's wearing that, his vestures dipped in blood, got a sword proceeding out of his mouth, and it says King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Yeah, I'm with him. Look what the Bible says here, describes our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In verse number 16, who only hath immortality. dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. I was hung up after that, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I was hung up on that promise of immortality from our King. Do you understand what people are going after today? They're going after the fountain of youth. They want to be able to live longer. They want to be able to, hey, I want to be immortal. Do you understand there is a day coming? I was reminded as I read this verse of Scripture, I was reminded of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which we've labeled as the resurrection chapter of Scripture, that it says that this mortal must put on immortality. Well, do you understand we're only going to be able to get immortality from someone who already has immortality? What would you think if I'm laying on my deathbed, Joshua, and you come by to see me, because we're just good friends, and you're coming by to see me on my deathbed, and I say, hey, let me tell you the secret to living forever. And you'd be like, why don't you listen to it first? Why don't you see, hey, just drink this little potion right over here, okay, this elixir. You drink that and you'll live forever. Well, why are you laying on your deathbed then? I believe I would have the same reaction that most of you just had. But can I remind us of this? That we have eternal life. We have immortality that is being given to us by the one and only that has immortality. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, that's why he had power over death, hell, and the grave. That's why we celebrate this week, and I know some, and I've heard about it, say on a Wednesday night, Thursday night or something, they actually have a funeral service, and they'll actually conduct a service like Jesus has just died, and they'll conduct that service. And it'll be darker and solemn and everything in the auditorium, and people will file out at the close of the service because they just had a funeral service. And then when they walk back in on Sunday morning, it's all bright and sunny and flowers and everything around, and you're singing Up From the Grave He Arose and rejoicing on it. Listen, death did not have any power over the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus knew that. Before he died, in fact, he said, I lay my life down and I have the power to take it back up. He knew. Now I wonder this. I wonder how much of us have enjoyed or thanked God that he is immortal, and therefore this mortal is going to put on immortality, and that's how he can give to us eternal life. How long has it been since we thank God that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is literally, now think about this, is not in a prideful way, is making us immortal. Now, I understand all the superhero movies that are out there and everything, and they actually refer to immortals and mortals through all of that. But listen, I come to the Bible and I've got the truth. And I serve a risen Savior. I know that he is immortal. I know that he is seated in heaven. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the blessed and only potentate. So let me ask you something. With all of this in mind, why don't we take comfort in knowing who he is and who it is that we serve? Now, I know in a lot of cases, there's absolutely nothing that you could do to be able to help me in cases, and I may not be able to help you in certain cases, and we have these things that take place in life, but can I remind you of this? There is one that knows all of it. There is one that, listen, we will be seeing face to face. There is one that we will be riding into Jerusalem with. And I do not believe that the scene from 2,000 years ago has anything over the scene that's fixing to take place here in a little while. You say, when's it going to take place? I don't know. We got at least 7 years. Just because I believe the Lord's going to come back, we're going to be in heaven with him for 7 years. We got the judgment seat of Christ, and I know me, that's going to take a while. Then we're going to come back with our Savior. He's riding a white horse. He's coming into Jerusalem to sit upon that throne. That day is coming. Let me ask you something. Why not take comfort in it? Why not realize today? You say, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't understand what's taking place in this world. Listen, it does not matter what the rulers of this world think they have the authority to do. There is always someone higher. You ever get on one of them phone calls and you said, I want to talk to your manager? And you ever find out that they really didn't give you a manager, they just gave you someone else? There's always someone higher. And I think there's a whole lot of kings and lords around this world that are going to find out one of these days that there's someone a whole lot higher than they are. And that's who we serve. We can take comfort in knowing who our Savior is, that he's going to be appearing. We can take comfort in knowing that when he appears, listen, he does have authority over all kings and lords. There is no one higher than our Savior. And when we see him, may I remind us of this, at that moment, we cross from mortal to immortality. And he's got the power to do that. Now, with everything that's going on in this world, I want to give you hope. We look back and say, boy, what it must have been like. But I wonder this. I remember when Jesus actually entered into my life, and I allowed him to sit on the throne of my heart. You remember when you made Jesus king of your life? And you said, Lord, my life is yours to control. We sing a song very similar to that. King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. And we sing about that. But I wonder today if you can remember a time when you allowed Jesus to be able to come in and maybe took yourself off the throne of your heart and put Jesus on the throne of your heart. Now, I believe that's a daily battle because I like to be in control and I like to know what's going on, and I want to say this is how it's going to be when the Lord is saying, why don't you let me rule and govern your life? And I wonder if you've allowed the Lord to be that King of Kings and Lord of Lords in your life, or I wonder if you're still holding on saying, no, I'll govern my life. I'll control my life. Boy, it'd be a wonderful day to realize who it is that Jesus is and allow him to be the ruler and reign in your life and say, Lord, here's my life. It's yours. No matter what it is, don't you think the King of Kings and Lord of Lords knows better than us? I think he does. So why don't we allow him?